All right. So next Sunday, the entire service actually is going to be focused on our children's ministry. And we're going to have regular worship and all of that. But we're going to have a children's ministry emphasis next week. And church, I really believe with all my heart that there is no more important ministries that we as a church can be involved in than ministering to our children and to our young people. Can you say amen to that? I mean, I don't know what it would be, especially in this day and age. We must speak into the lives of our young people and encourage them in their walk with Jesus. Amen? Yes. All right. Well, this morning we're continuing our teaching series through the book of Proverbs called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. How many of you wish throughout your life you had made some better decisions in your life? Anybody here? Yes, we all do. So this isn't a matter of us going back and having a bunch of regret. It is a matter, though, of understanding that when Jesus Christ saves us, he saves us not only for eternity, he saves us for the here and now. In other words, Jesus can show us how to live a better life. Amen? And he will do that if we will let him. Now, none of us, this side of heaven, none of us are going to get that perfectly right, but certainly we should strive to do better. And one of the ways that we do that is we pay attention to what God has said. And the book of Proverbs is full of all of these little sayings, these wisdom sayings that will help us, if we'll listen to them, they will help us in life. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about it. I believe a value that we all need to be encouraged in today, and that is the value of creating a culture of honor, creating a culture of honor. So Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 22, and this particular proverb is focused on having a culture of honor within our homes. We're going to start there, okay? Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So, give your father and mother joy. Come on. Give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. Woo! Now, how many of you, when you're listening to these words or reading these words, would just say it, just the whole thing feels very out of sync with our culture? Right? And the reason it's out of sync is because our culture is out of sync. This is a far cry from what our young people are being taught today. In fact, in many ways, what we see happening in our world is just the opposite direction of creating a culture of honor. We are creating a culture of dishonor. And so I want to encourage you today, as followers of Jesus Christ, not to be followers of our culture, right? We want to be followers of Jesus Christ, and we're going to live kingdom values. And a primary kingdom value is this idea of honor. The Bible actually warned us 2,000 years ago that there would be a culture of dishonor that would continue to grow in our world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, just listen, not up on the screen, but mark this: there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Now, I want you to notice in that whole list of things that God's concern about the last days, in that list, that it had nothing to do with the economy or, a lot of things that we are concerned about. What God's primary concern was for was the spiritual direction of the world, that it is going further and further and further away from him. One of the primary strategies of Marxism is the systematic devaluing, redefining, and deconstruction of the family. This is one of the many reasons Marxism is so dangerous. Karl Marx himself wanted the traditional family to be devalued. And he wanted this for two reasons. His first reason was an economic reason. He didn't want wealth to be passed down from generation to generation. So he wanted those generations to be broke up. That was his first reason. His second reason was an ideological reason. He wanted the hearts of children not to be shaped by the values of their families, but to be shaped by the values of the state. And so for these two reasons, Karl Marx was anti-family. So in a culture that is racing toward Marxism, it's vital that we instill in our young people the values of God and his kingdom rather than the values of this world. And one of those core values must be an understanding and a valuing of honor. But guys, before we can hope to instill honor as a value in the lives of our children, we have to value it ourselves. Because honor is one of those things that is more caught than taught. They're gonna learn by watching us, right? They're going to learn by listening to what we're talking about. And so honor has to be something that we begin to value and honor in our own lives. We need to live it out. So I want to teach this morning a few principles from God's word that have to do with honor, okay? And my prayer today is that God would speak to us through our word. We don't want to get caught up in a culture of dishonor. We don't want to get caught up in coming down to a level of returning dishonor with dishonor. Does that make sense? And we want to raise the level as followers of Jesus Christ and learn to live lives of honor, all right? So the first principle is this. Jesus is the ultimate example of living a life of honor. He's the ultimate example that we look to for everything, including how to live a life of honor. What do I mean by this? Well, everywhere Jesus went, Jesus placed value on people, and he valued people that were by and large unvalued by the world. And he restored upon these people a sense of honor that God had given them, right? So several examples in the Gospels that I can think of. I think of a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus that was crying out to Jesus, and people were shushing him and saying, no, you be quiet. You're the blind guy. And they're telling him to be quiet, but the Bible says that he cried out even more. And Jesus, even though nobody else there valued Bartimaeus, Jesus did. And Jesus came and healed him. Jesus physically touched people that no one else would touch. He touched the lepers. No one else would touch a leper, but Jesus did. And when Jesus healed lepers, many times he came over and not only just spoke healing, because he could do that, but he actually laid hands on them when he healed them. And I believe when he was doing that, Jesus was placing honor and value on them and saying, not only am I going to heal you, but I want you to know that you are honored, that you are valued, that God loves you. He cares about you. Jesus consistently showed love to those that the religious crowd refused to love because they were considered to be too sinful and unworthy to be loved by religious people. And Jesus consistently spent time with these people that the rest of the world called sinners, and Jesus consistently placed value on their lives, even though no one else did. Jesus also elevated the role of women in the society. Women were not very valued, but Jesus consistently valued women on an equal level with men. Jesus also placed a high value on children. And you remember when parents were bringing their children to Jesus and they wanted Jesus to bless the children. And the disciples were saying, no, go away. You know, get your kids out of here. Jesus doesn't have time for kids. Only to learn, you know, not only did Jesus have time for kids, he turns to his disciples and said, unless you become like one of these children, you will not enter the kingdom of God, right? So Jesus placed value and honor on people that others didn't place value on. But most of all, Jesus not only valued people, Jesus lived his life to bring honor to the Father. He lived a life of honor by honoring God. Now, I know this is a little theologically tricky because Jesus is God, right? So we get into the whole discussion about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to talk about Jesus honoring God, well, Jesus actually, you know, was and is God himself. But in this unique plan of salvation, where the role of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit was planned by God for our salvation, that Jesus, as the Son, would come into the world and he would be the one who would lay down his life on the cross and raise from the dead, that Jesus, as he did that, he submitted to his Father and he lived his entire life here on earth to honor the Father. And everything Jesus did, he did it for the glory of the Father. Every word that Jesus spoke, his goal was to bring honor to the Father. Every one of his actions was designed to bring honor to the Father. Even his death on the cross, through his death on the cross, he was honoring the plan of the Father. And in turn, the Father honored him by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the glory of heaven. Amen? So in turn, the Father glorifies Jesus. So his whole life was focused on glorifying the Father. And then Jesus also taught us that that's how we should live our lives. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus said in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is saying, make it your goal to honor the Father in everything that you do, whether you're at church, in your home, at work, at Costco, waiting in the gas line. Make it your goal, your heart's desire to bring honor and glory to the Father. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, church, it's a mentality that if you will have it, it will change your life. If you decide, my goal is to bring glory to Jesus. My goal is to bring glory to God. That's what I'm living my life for, right? Then it will change everything about you, all right? So Jesus is the ultimate example. And then number two is this, all honor begins with honoring God. All right, so before we talk about honoring people, it starts with honoring God. And this is why, by the way, there's so much dishonor in our world, because a world that has chosen to dishonor God is also going to wind up dishonoring people, because people are created in the image of God, and that's what gives people the honor that they have, right? Psalm 104 and verse 1 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. Everybody say that with me. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Continue on with me. Oh, Lord, my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. Hallelujah. Yeah. So all honor, it begins with deciding that we want to honor the Lord with our lives. And that includes, by the way, honoring God also includes honoring his word, right? It includes honoring the word of God. If we honor God, it's impossible to honor God without honoring his word. If we honor God, we're going to want to honor the word of God. So for us as believers, we don't treat the word of God as one option of many options. We don't treat the Bible as a big suggestion, right? The word of God is elevated over every other opinion because it is the word of God. Amen? So honoring God means honoring his word, okay? Number three, Because we honor God, we are to honor that which God honors. All right? So when God honors something, when God says something is worthy of honor, that's what we want to honor. When God says something's not worthy of honor, we don't want to honor those things. Psalm 12 and verse 8 says, "The wicked who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race." Wow, don't we see that today? We see people strutting about, taking so much pride, so much honor in things which the Bible describes as vile, right? And so when we begin to honor things that we should not be honoring, it's going to get us in trouble because it's going to totally rearrange our value system, right? So we honor that which God honors. Number four, every person, everybody say every person has been endowed with honor by God. Every person has been endowed with honor by God. Now, that's not saying every person lives an honorable life. I'm just saying God has given every person honor. Psalm 8 and verse 4, David asks the question, "What is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them?" Aren't there times you just kind of feel like, God, how can you even love these people? Right? It's probably a good time to look at yourself and say, God, how can you love me? Right? Because he chooses to. Verse 5, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." This is speaking of the human race. You, God, have crowned them with glory and honor. Remember this. Whether they're living like it or not, every single person has been created by God in the image of God. Right? And because they're created in the image of God, there is honor that goes along with the fact that God has stamped his image upon their life. Every human being that you ever meet is also loved by God. God loves them. Jesus died for them. Hallelujah. And watch this. God wants us to spend eternity with them. Right? God wants to spend eternity with them. So God has valued people. He's honored people. And we need to follow God's cues. If God says they're honored, we need to honor people. Okay? Now, I need to put a little caveat in this. Because there is also a danger in publicly honoring people that reject God. Okay? Proverbs 26:8 says this, "Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool." Right? So when we, you know, our country is full of you know, people that are idolized by our world. Performers, athletes, and people listen to these people. They have a lot of influence. There's a real danger, church, when we start idolizing that which the world idolizes, and we honor people who aren't living their life to honor the Lord. Because when we do that, when we magnify those people, no matter how talented they might be, we're setting our children up and we're setting others up with a bad example. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And so we, you know, there's a caveat here. Yes, every person is to be honored and every person is valued, and we need to do that. We need to love every person. But publicly, we're not to magnify and honor every single person just because the world says they're great. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Number five, honoring God and others requires something big out of us. It requires humility. Requires humility. If you want to really honor God, if you want to really honor other people, you're going to have to stop worrying about what other people think about you. Come on, it's too quiet now. Yeah, the practice of self-exaltation It goes clear back before the beginning of time. It goes clear back to the devil when he was actually one of God's favored angels in heaven. And the devil himself wanted to exalt himself to the throne of God. And self-exaltation is at the core of our sinful nature. And even after we become followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to battle that devil within us, right? Self-exaltation. In Luke 14, Jesus tells this really interesting parable. And the setting is, he's been invited to a banquet, right? That's actually been given in his honor. So he's the guest of honor at this banquet. But as Jesus gets to this banquet, he's watching people. And evidently there was a real hierarchy in where you sat at the table at these parties. And Jesus was noticing that people really wanted to have those, you know, most honorable places. And so Jesus tells this parable. It says, when Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say, give this person your seat. Well, that'd be embarrassing, right? Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the guests. Now, Jesus is not only, you know, sharing something practical for these folks. The real application is a spiritual application, because he says this, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Right? So this is kingdom mentality. This is kingdom principle, right? That we don't exalt ourselves. We don't honor ourselves. And when we do, it's impossible to think about honoring other people or honoring the Lord as far as that goes, okay? So being a person of honor means becoming a person who's humble, right? And then number six, and this is the last one we're gonna hit on today. Honor will be a part of the culture in every healthy church. It's going to be a part of the culture of every healthy church. Listen, the church has taken a bad rap in our world. Really bad rap. And listen, I expect that bad things will be said about the church. I don't like it. But I expect it, right? Who I don't expect it from is Christians. Right? Christians. Is the church flawed? Yeah. Could we do better? Certainly. We better do better, church. Absolutely. But don't forget this, as flawed as we are, as many shortcomings as the church has, the Bible still refers to the church as the bride of Christ. Jesus loves his bride. And when we go after his bride, when we dishonor his bride, that can't be pleasing to the Lord. Amen? Can't be pleasing to God. And then even among ourselves, how many of you notice over the last 2 years, you have found yourself disagreeing with some of your brothers and sisters? Anybody here? You know, we see things differently for sure. A lot of things, and a lot of things has come out. Listen, it's okay to disagree. It's all right. But listen, that doesn't mean we stop honoring one another. That doesn't mean we start putting one another down or devaluing one another, right? Watch this, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9, says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Everybody say, be devoted. Be devoted to one another in love. Church, listen, listen. We're all we got. We're all we got. And if we start going after each other, we got nothing. Be devoted to one another in love. And then here comes the big H word. Honor one another. Above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful not to do what is right in the... be careful. I shouldn't put the word not in there. Heresy. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, right? That doesn't mean everyone in the world. It means in the body of Christ, right? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wow. It's a tall order, but this is what God has called us to. We're to live lives of honor, and as we honor one another in the body of Christ, it's going to create a healthy spiritual atmosphere for us, right? Yeah. And then maybe, church, just maybe, those on the outside looking in, side who've become dissatisfied with what they're seeing in the world, those on the outside are going to take a look in and see the body of Christ being loving and healthy and alive and strong and faithful. And maybe, church, just maybe, they're going to be won over. Hallelujah. Yeah. I happened to see in social media last week some news that didn't make the news, but a number of Christians came under attack up in Portland with Sean Fetch did a huge, you know, they were doing a rally there. Antifa came in and was trying to disrupt them, and actually it got physical. News doesn't tell you this stuff. The news also doesn't tell you this. This is so cool. One of those Antifa members that came to disrupt the meeting because he saw how the Christians responded and the kind of people they were, on the spot, gave his life to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? An Antifa member got saved right there. So, church, come on. Let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Let's stand up for Jesus. But let's do it in such a magnificent, loving way, right? With all the love that Jesus gives us. Keep loving people. Keep loving people. Live a life of honor, honoring God, but also honor those who are created in the image of God. And let the world see what Jesus really looks like. Amen? Live your life for the glory of God. And that's how we're just going to close out this morning. And we're going to ask God to work in us. And perhaps you're here this morning and you just recognize, as I've been talking, that you need to make some course adjustments, right? That God wants to recalibrate some things in your life, and you haven't really been living a life that's aimed on honoring Jesus, or you haven't really honored and valued people. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart today. God, teach me the way of honor. Teach me to honor others. Teach me to honor you. All right? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Come on, this is a Holy Spirit moment. Would you right now invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to your heart? God, forgive me. Forgive me, God, if I've fallen into the sin of dishonor. Forgive me, God, if I haven't represented you well. Also, God, forgive me if I've honored things that I shouldn't be honoring. Set my heart right, God. Set my heart right, God. Hallelujah, God. Work in my heart today. Work in my life today. Hallelujah. 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 You can go ahead and look back up for a moment, but there's a place in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, that teaches us, I believe, so much about honor. Revelation 4:4, it takes us into the throne room of God. And it says, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. And seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Now I want you to think just how honored these people are. These are people that serve the Lord, serve Jesus, people of courage, people of faith. People that live godly lives, obviously to the point where God himself now, in the end of time, at the end of time, God himself pays them incredible honor. He gives them a throne and a crown. God does that for these guys. They are so honored by God for the lives that they lived. But then watch what they do with their crowns. Revelation 4 and verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever. These very honored people are honoring Jesus. And it goes on to say, they lay their crowns before the throne. These crowns that God himself gave them for the lives they lived. They take off their crown that God has gave them and they put them at his feet and say, God, the only reason I've been honored is because of you. Without you, God, not only would I not have a crown on my head today, I wouldn't even be here today without you. And they say, you are worthy, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they are created and have their being. Jesus, you're the only one. I don't deserve this crown. Jesus, you're the only one that deserves to wear a crown. Jesus, you're the only one that's worthy of glory. You're the only one that's worthy of honor. And would you say with me, amen today, that Jesus is the only one that's worthy of glory and honor. Whatever we accomplish in this world, whatever good we can do, whatever we sacrifice or give up, it's all because it all started with Jesus and not with us. He is the one to be honored, church. Come on, stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord and let's honor him right now in this place. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, God. We declare, God, that you are the one. You are the one that's worthy of glory and honor. You are the one that we owe it all to, oh God. You're the one we owe it all to. Anything good we've got done with our life, anything good we're going to do, Jesus, we acknowledge it all starts with you, oh God. And Lord, without you, we are lost, Lord. We honor you. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for raising from the dead, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us. You've chosen us. You've saved us, Lord. You've forgiven us, Lord. Oh, we honor you today, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We praise your name. We praise your name. Continue to worship the Lord in this song, church. Give honor to Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.